All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is December the 23rd, 2022. Beautiful day, Friday here on the East Coast. Preparing for the polar bomb. Getting ready to drop down and freeze us all in our tracks. I hope not. We definitely did have a lot of rain yesterday, but now I guess it's supposed to get cold. And so wherever you are, hopefully you're warm and cozy. And I am working today. It is Friday, but I will be off for the next few days because of Christmas. And I hope everyone's getting excited. I know my kids, I'm excited. I'm actually very excited. I'm excited for, you know, to see the kids be excited. And, I got my wife some cool stuff. And so it's going to be a great Christmas. This is our first Christmas in our new house, so of course we're going to host, which is fantastic. You know, it's what we've always wanted. When we lived in our other house, it was just too small, and it just never felt... Listen, we could have made it work, but for some reason I was just like, you know, one day we'll get a bigger house and we'll have people over. So, but this is it. We got a bigger house. It's not a lot bigger, but it's definitely big enough to host some friends. So we are hosting, and... It keeps sort of, the crowd keeps sort of growing. We have my in-laws and my dad and my brother. And then my in-laws are friends with a couple in their neighborhood, and they don't have anywhere to go for Christmas, so they asked if they could come. We're like, of course. And then they have another friend that wants to come. They don't have anywhere to go and wanted to know if it would be all right if they joined us. And I was like, of course. So the crowd keeps growing, which is exactly to me what this is all about. Giving, being there for others. So we're definitely looking forward to that. Yesterday was my anniversary. Hey, I'm very proud of myself. Not that it's, you know, 14 years, and this is as long as I've ever been sober, so it's all new territory to me, but, luckily for me today, I'm never going to say that, you know, I'm worried about drinking again, because we laugh and we joke. In fact, this is the time of year where a lot of people bring cookies, and a lady who tutors my daughter brought some cookies to the house, and she had some rum balls in there, rumbles, I think they call them, rumbles. And so they're clearly made with rum. And I was like, I'll take one of those. You know, I joke. You know, it's all funny, right? It's joke. And I know the alcohol's cooked out of the cookie, and I doubt I would pick up a drink after a rumble. But I know, let's not eat the rumble. But I still joked, like, oh, give me a couple of them rumbles. And we laugh, ha, ha, ha. So, listen, the idea that I could possibly pick up another drink is at the top of my brain. But I will say that 14 years later, I'm pretty good. I've definitely fallen in love with sobriety. I'm not full of fear. And when I am, I know how to work it out. I know how to stay in the day. In fact, I'm probably so in the day that it probably aggravates people. You know, when a person, you know, like myself, who tries to really stay in the day and stay and work on with the stuff that I can work with, you know, when you interact with the rest of the norms, they don't always do that. In fact, a lot of people love to project and reflect and not stay in the day. But why should they? They don't have to, right? Because they're not alcoholics. They get the freedom and the pleasure of imagining themselves all over the place. But for a guy like myself, who really, to stay safe and to keep the stress minimal, I have to stay in the day. So, you know, it probably aggravates people. But, you know, that's what I have to do today. And I love that. I love that I've been taught that. And one day at a time, I wanted to share a little bit so my grandmother, I've shared before, Grandma Peaches, Godspeed Grandma Peaches, she was in the program, and she passed her little red book on to me when she died, and I have it, and we had it, and I kind of lost it in the move, but my wife found it yesterday, and she gave it to me, and I was like, oh my God, I was so happy, because there was some stuff that she wrote in this book, and I just thought maybe I would look at some of them and just, you know, see how it works in my life. And, you know, just move on and see what we can do here. But so it says Peach Arquino, April 1975, Hiddenbrook. So she had gone to Hiddenbrook, which I think is in Maryland, maybe. The first thing she wrote, it says, "I can't, God can, ask him." And I think that it's such a big deal, because that is sort of the beginning of that relationship with that higher power, which is not always easy, right? It's not easy to understand. I know for a person like myself, the relationship with God that I thought I had was no relationship at all. It was a self-serving relationship. Calm me down, fix me, send me things to make me feel better. Me, me, me. And, you know, that's, it, for me, it turned out to be the wrong style of relationship with a higher power. But yeah, that beginning of that relationship with the, or trying to figure out, the beginning of going down the path towards a relationship with a higher power. And I like how that she wrote that. I can't, and it's very true. I cannot do this by myself. I cannot do this by myself. And if I do this by myself, and I do not drink while doing it, I'm probably going to be very miserable. You'll hear the term dry drunk. That's a dry drunk, a person that's trying to do this by themselves. And it just doesn't work. You may not ever drink another drink, but what do they say? If you're an asshole that drinks too much and you quit drinking, then you're just an asshole. And this is the relationship. Honestly, the relationship with higher power removes being an asshole. If you want to stop being an asshole, figure out how to have a relationship with the higher power. And Grandma Peach, she wrote down, "I can't, God can, ask him." And this is all about humility, right? This is all that relationship. I said on a podcast, I think, a while back that, you know, if you come to the fork in the road and you have the right decision and the wrong decision, and you choose the right decision, so let's say it's just drink or not drink, right? And you choose not drink, that's a relationship with the higher power in my mind, in my eyes. That's an act of humility. That's the right move. It's the good choice. It's the God choice. It's a relationship with the higher power. You know, as a person that's been sober for a while, I make it real simple. I put two fucking angels on my shoulder. I have the good angel and I have the bad angel. And if I'm making a good decision, you know, let's say I'm just driving and the idea comes to maybe go to a bar. There's going to be a conversation. You're going to have the good angel. That's not going to be a good idea. What could happen? Let's think it through. You know, next thing you know, you're in the bar. You're just having a Coke. Next thing you know, it seems like a great. Next thing you know, you're drunk. I'm not sure it's a good idea. And then you got the bad angel. Let's just drink Coke. We'll just have pretzels. We just like to laugh and shoot pool, right? It gives you all these ideas. We don't need to drink. I'm figuring it's probably a bad idea, right? So anytime you make that right choice, anytime I make the right choice, I feel I'm on God's team. I'm on a spiritual awakening path. If I'm making the other decisions, I'm doing the opposite, and I don't think that is going to turn out well. So in the very beginning, I can't, God can, ask him. And I've shared in the past that, you know, how I used to pray, and my prayers were always to serve me, fix me, make me happy, you know, money, snow, girlfriends. That seemed to be my main prayer subjects. I always wanted money. I always wanted to get school canceled, and I always wanted a girlfriend. God gave me none of them. But that was my relationship, right? And how can you have a relationship with a higher power if you're trying to serve self? It's like trying to put gas, a fire out with gasoline. That just doesn't work. And I like how she, you know, I can't, God can, ask him. And I've shared the prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. My shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. I'm not even asking him for anything. I'm just recognizing I am not God. And I know I'm clearly not God. But sometimes I think I'll get caught up in it and I'll avoid what my higher power says. So I'm acting kind of weird. Not God-ish, but I don't know what it is. But anyway, I can't, God can't, ask him. And I think that's huge. And then it says, the next thing she wrote down, it says, as long as I remain willing, teachable. She wrote something else in here, and I can't read the word. It almost looks like maybe teachable. I don't know. But it says, as long as I remain willing and teachable. And I agree. And that's, you know, and when you're willing means as long as I surrender. Because, you know, I remember coming into this program and being, you know, I'm not going to do that God part stuff. I don't know why that is. I don't know if I just felt like I would have to change my whole life. It's very funny how I actually thought about a relationship with a higher power. And I was like, well, I'm not going to do all the God stuff. I can come in here. I can not drink, right? I can do that. I can say sorry. I can make some amends. I can take a daily inventory and I can help others, but I'm not going to do any of that God part. And to be honest, as long as that's part of your, you know, your thing, you're never going to find serenity. Because in the end, that's what I'm looking for. Serenity. Four things. God, so I have a relationship with him, obviously. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. The courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The wisdom to know the difference. I had no wisdom to know the difference. I tried to change everything and tried to manipulate everything that I could, and when I couldn't do it, I got upset and stressed out and you know, sick, spiritually sick. And so I love how in the beginning she's just like, hey, I can't, God can, ask him. And as long as I remain willing, I'm teachable. That must be it. Readable, teachable. Well, as long as you're willing, as long as I'm willing, I am teachable. If I'm not willing, I'm not teachable. And then it says a couple other things. Work on the things that made me drink. And I got a little stuck on that one because I never felt like I was a person that drank because of a reason. Like, oh, you know, I got bad news at work. I'm going to have a drink. I just drank every day. I was a very social drinker, hanging out with friends, playing horseshoes. You know, it was always like after work, you know, so it was always sort of this kind of reward. You know, if I think about it, I definitely drank as a reward. Like I'd get off work and I'd go over to my parents' house and drink beers out of the refrigerator. Like if I worked my day, I deserve this. Right. So I guess maybe, you know, realizing I never deserve to get drunk, you know, I've said this before, you know, if you live in the manure long enough and you finally come out and you smell fresh air, regular air, you think it's probably from God. Right. I know that when I got sober, I felt like I was special. And to be honest, it is special. If you can get sober, you are special, but not that special. And, you know, I felt like I was above other people. You know, I didn't say this out loud, but in my mind, I felt boastful. I felt like I was above everybody. Like, can't you see what I'm doing? I'm just getting sober, right? You should be proud of me. You know, I should have never gotten that way in the first place, right? That's like saying, hey, I'm not stealing. Hey, let's put you on our shoulders and raise you up. You shouldn't steal in the first place. I shouldn't have been drinking and carrying on like I was in the first place. So it is important that, you know, we feel good. That's why we go to meetings, right? Because the only people that give a shit are other people that are struggling. You know, if I go into a group of people and say, look, I'm sober 15 years or 14 years, they're like, oh, that's great. Good for you. But they don't understand, you know, the real struggle that it takes. And, you know, when my first year of sobriety, second year of sobriety, you know, I was proud. I wanted praise. Look at me. But now I've been rocketed right into that fourth dimension where I get, you know, and my life today is so freaking awesome. So awesome. And nothing, you know, I don't make a lot of money. I don't do much. It's just just to be free of all that stress and anxiety and worry. I woke up this morning, I had no worry. No stress. Come to work. I got to work and already people are starting to freaking call me. So that's starting to stress me out. But, yeah, just, you know, and I use that, you know, every day. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for keeping me another day sober. Watch over us today and just keep us safe. You know, or if I'm stressed out or I've gotten myself into some jam, which I probably shouldn't have, right? You know, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. I'm just letting go of it, right? I'm asking God. I'm recognizing God. I can't handle this. I'm just turning it over to you. And it brings peace, which I'm very grateful for. So, like I said, I did. My anniversary was yesterday. I went to a meeting on Wednesday. I was like, God, I want my coin. But I was a day early and couldn't get it. I remember this guy was like, I'll be 6 months tomorrow. And he's like, we'll come back next week and we'll give you your chip. And I was like, absolutely. And so, you know, as much as I wanted the coin, I had to get to the day, and I did. But I don't have a coin now. So we're going to go. I'm going to a meeting tonight. I got a guy. You know, the meetings, it's funny. I've gone to meetings for a long time. Usually at the end of a meeting, you know, we used to hold hands and say a prayer. And then after COVID, nobody was holding hands, right? We've lost the desire to touch one another. And I went to the meeting on Wednesday, and when the meeting was over, we got to stand up and say the prayer, and we held hands. And I almost started crying. It was very emotional because, you know, that's a big deal. It's a big deal to hold hands in the prayer circle and say a prayer and touch. And, you know, this last three years or whatever it's been with this pandemic and all this stuff has been really, I think it's really been tough on people. It's been tough on me. And I'm not sure I recognize it. You know, like, just as soon as we started holding hands, I was like, oh my God. And just, I felt like we're moving in the right direction. It was weird being, not having meetings, you know, for a guy that spent a big chunk of his life going to meetings and then to not have them. It was a big deal. And then to kind of have him come back in certain variations of what meetings used to be, you know. I feel like meetings are the key to sobriety. I've shared this, you know, in the past, you know, going to my first meeting and just watching, you know, people make coffee and greet and lead and open the notebook and get a speaker. And, you know, I just found that fascinating. It's the real backbone, the key to the success of people getting sober. You know, I shared in the meeting the other night, I do three things. I have my family. Well, I have my sobriety, I have my family, and I have my work. Those are the only three things I do in my life. Nothing else. Anything else I do would include some family member, but all I do is I work on sobriety, I work, and I take care of my family. And it's really, it's sobriety, family, work, right? Part of me says family, sobriety, but I gotta be sober. No sober, no family. But those are my three things that I do. And I go to 3 to 4 meetings a week, and just like I always have. And I think if you're trying to figure out how to get sober and you're having a tough time, probably not going to enough meetings. How many meetings are you going to, right? Do you even like going to meetings? I don't know. But at the end of that meeting, we all held hands, and I was like, this is fantastic. And, you know, it's been a struggle. I was sharing that, you know, my buddy Jim was had that meeting, and it just wasn't, you know, we were kind of coming out of the pandemic, and not a lot of people were attending the meeting, and he was like, I've had it. I go, I'll take care of the meeting for a while. And so, but people are coming back, you know, this Friday night meeting that I'm doing tonight. It's, I think we probably almost had 20 people last week. And so what that means is, because up until this point, I just come in and read the daily reflection and then, you know, pick a topic and we just share on it. We haven't, it's almost like the minimalist meeting. But the reality is as a guy that runs a meeting now, I need to find speakers. And I found my buddy Andy. He's going to do it tonight. Jimmy spoke last weekend. You know, this is part of recovery. You know, finding people to come share and share their experience, strength, and hope. That's what we do. And gotten away with not having to do it for a bit. But, you know, like I said, people are starting to show up and I need to put more effort in. So I'm trying to find people again, and it's just, you know, it's an inconvenience, but inconvenience is self's kryptonite. You know, inconvenience is what puts self in the corner. Nobody puts me in the corner or whatever that movie was, Roadhouse, but, you know, inconvenience, which is like finding people, right? It's like putting yourself out there. It's you know, feeling, you know, nervous. It's all that weird stuff that goes on when you have to have the responsibility of taking care of a meeting. It's an inconvenience, but I tell you what, that's the magic. You know, self is like, eh, this isn't for me. I'm just going to hang out. You and your higher power, enjoy yourselves. And it's great. And anytime, like I said, if you're taking on a commitment, that's a relationship with the higher power. If you're making coffee, that's a relationship with the higher power. If you're setting up front, that's a relationship with the higher power. If you're finding speakers, that whole process is a relationship with the higher power. Because if you do the opposite, if you said, you know, like I did the meeting last week, and you know, I was just going to, you know, my buddy Jim's like, hey, what time's that meeting? I'd like to get, because even he, you know, Jiminy and I have been going to meetings forever, like big time. And he, you know, he stressed out a little about the pandemic, so he was doing a lot of Zoom meetings, but he's even feeling, I got to get back to these freaking meetings. So he texts me, he goes, what time's that meeting tonight? I was like, 7. He goes, I'll be there. Like, yeah. And so when I got there, you know, I was supposed to lead, I thought, and Jim's like, I think I got someone to sit up front. I was like, okay, no problem. But then about 6:58, he comes up, he goes, I guess they're not showing up. Can you do it? I was like, sure. And then I look over at Jim, I go, you want to sit up front with me? And he goes, I'd prefer not to. And I go, hey, yeah, no problem. And so I started to walk up to the front of the room, and then I see him get up, and he comes up there and sits down. Because he, you know, the same thing that happens to all of us. What do we say? We never say no, right? That's the idea. Never say no. But sometimes we do. But when we do, you know, that higher power shows up. It's like, really? Or the lower power. And that's what I told him. I said, and he ended up walking up and sat down next to me up at the front of the room. And I go, was that lower power talking to you? And he goes, yes, it was. And the lower power, that voice is like, I'd prefer not to, right? I've had a long day. I'd rather not. That's all just bullshit, right? It's all that lower power voice. And the higher power is like, come on. You need to sit up front. You know better. We never say no. And that's usually, if you've got some time and you've been doing this for a while, more than likely you'll come around in the next 10 seconds. And that's what happened to him. And he ended up coming up and sitting up front. But, you know, it's time to get back to getting to meetings and holding hands. I remember shit back in the day when winter would come along and people would be like, yeah, I'm not holding hands tonight. I've got a little thing going on up here. So I'm going to skip the holding hands, but you guys go ahead. And that was great. We'd be like, of course, man, you don't feel well. So we need to get back to that so we can start doing this stuff. All right. Let me, I got to go work. I'm so annoying. Let me read the daily reflections and then I'll let you go. Let's see what it says here. Recovery Unity Service, December the 23rd. Our 12th step, carrying the message, is the basic service that AA's fellowship gives. This is our principal aim and the main reason for our existence. The Language of the Heart, page 160. I thank God for those who have come before me, those who told me not to forget the three legacies, recovery, unity, and service. In my home group, the three legacies were described on a sign which said, "You take a three-legged stool, try to balance it on only one leg or two." Our three legacies must keep intact. In recovery, we get sober together. In unity, we work together for the good of the steps and traditions. And through service, we give away freely what was given to us. One of the chief gifts of my life has been to know that I will have no message to give unless I recover in unity with AA principles. Absolutely. Very true. You know. That's why I have three things in my life. I have this, the program, my family, and my job. And probably the hardest one that I should be working on is the recovery, because without that, I don't have the other two, right? And I would be really bummed out if that was the case. I got to cut this a little bit short. I hope everybody has an amazing Christmas and a great New Year's. And, you know, if you've been listening to this podcast, I really appreciate it. If I've helped at all, that'd be awesome. I know that it helps me when I listen to other people. So thank you. And, yeah, have a great day. Bye.